It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are back here with First Lady and Friends, and we have a special episode today, a pre-Christmas, and we all know that pre-Christmas means anniversary. So Spencer and I have been married 26 years today on the 21st of December. So I thought it would be really fun to bring in some guests, an anniversary pod, if you will, a throwback to our Cox and Friends podcast pals. We've got Spencer J. Cox here. We've got Owen Fuller, Kirsten Rapley, John Cox, and we are missing Spencer Hall, sadly. But welcome to the show, guys.
Oh, it's great to be here. This episode of Cox and Friends is brought to you by Christmas. That's right, Christmas. It's the podcast you didn't know you needed and probably don't. It's good to be back. It's been a while.
But you still got it. It still rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
The hits are still here.
Yeah.
I'm so sad that SRH is not with us. For you longtime listeners of the podcast, both of you, this will be a really special treat. We're glad to have the gang back together.
And I want to get into the anniversary content as quickly as we can. These two are looking very, starry-eyed here as they reminisce on the last 26 years. So we got a lot to talk about.
Well, we do. But I think most importantly, we should note there are five of us, and we have three microphones. And if you're doing the math, that means that everybody's favorite, John Cox, gets his own microphone, and he's never been more excited.
I do have prepared some good winter solstice content. I don't know if now's an appropriate time to kind of dig in or we can wait.
Always appropriate.
Yeah. Well, so the winter solstice, I'll just say this and I'll leave the other stuff that I do have prepared. But the winter solstice is today, but it's actually not a day. It's a moment in time during that day. So during our pod today, we will actually experience at 2:48 p.m., the exact moment that the Earth starts tilting the other direction. So I'm kind of excited to experience that together with the pod crew.
I've kind of felt it starting to lean in here. I thought we had to be close.
Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will say, look, if you're going to get married, and most parents aren't excited about you getting married right before Christmas, not an ideal time. However, the winter solstice, it's a great time. It's easy to remember, right? You don't have to, because everybody you're thinking about is getting close to Christmas. Oh, it's the longest night of the year. Just going to throw that out there. Great time. I don't know. This is a family friendly podcast, but we'll just throw that out there. And it's been great. It's been a great chance for us to break away. We went down to Mexico for 3 days, really quick trip just over the weekend. And it was kind of fun. So what's fun is you're flying back from Mexico and everybody's flying down to Mexico. It's that time of year. Everybody's trying to get away. And here we are back with our friends. But it was a really nice little vacation.
Well, you guys are looking like you got plenty of sun. And since we didn't really plan out exactly the order of what we're talking about besides the winter solstice, I want to get into some marriage content as well.
Yes.
Because I actually had the chance a while back to hang out with some of the Palmer family. These are Abby's sisters in particular. And we had a lot of time. We were at an event where we had some jobs to do, but honestly, they weren't very taxing. And so we were just shooting the breeze, and I got such good info about young Abby and Spencer dating. And my favorite part is...
They like to make stuff up, so...
Well, I mean, they had
sisters do the best
ample
job.
Opportunity, and they went for it. And one thing that they said is that they thought that they loved when Spencer would come around because Abby was so much nicer. That's what they would say. He had this effect of making Abby her absolute nicest, and so they were Team Spencer from the start. What's the backstory there? What's going on? Give us the beats.
I was always nice. I don't know what they're talking about. That's
okay.
That's who I
hang
am.
On.
I mean, in Abby's defense, there were 10 kids, 8 girls, 2 boys.
One bathroom.
One
for
bathroom
the girls?
For most of the time. Yeah. Wow. So eight girls, one bathroom, 7 sisters. So you know, at times tension would run high, obviously. But you want to put on your best face for your significant other, and we just had a great time. We had a lot of fun. It was always fun to hang out with the Palmer girls. The two brothers were number 1 and 3, so they were older. They were out of the house.
And not as much fun. No, I'm joking.
I'm sure they're listening. Yeah. Always as much fun, but out on the Palmer Ranch, when I got there, basically it was the charity was kind of still around, so it was just 7 girls still hanging around when I got there. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of hijinks.
Was there a lot of watching, like, you know, when you were dropping Abby off?
Yeah.
Was everyone, you know, hanging by the windows for the front row seat and all that?
The fun part is that we lived 2.5 miles out of town. So it wasn't like boyfriends or guys that we liked or that liked us could, like, just do a drive-by. I mean, we all saw you
coming.
You had
to put in work.
It was a dirt road, so you could see the cloud of dust coming as you know, a car came up the road. The dog would bark. We'd all know somebody was coming. So it wasn't like a little sneaky thing that you could do. And we knew when they were coming. But it was we like to play jokes on people's significant other love interests and whatnot. And so it was great fun.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, like, that's, it was a little bit of a tell, right? I mean, it was work. So there was one guy that Abby.
That's how you describe courtship. It was work.
There was one guy
some
that Abby liked.
Putting in work. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
who said, hey, can we just meet at the Maverick before we go on a date?
Adventures for Stop?
and that's when you knew, that this was, that was not going to happen. That was not a relationship worth pursuing. So our joke was always, hey, should we meet at the Maverick?
No, this is a true story that happened. Some guy did that, and me and my sisters were like, yeah, we're out on him. Like, that's crap. Like, he didn't want to make the 2.5 mile drive up the hill to our house. So we're like, yeah, that's not cool. So when Spencer asked me out one time, I said, jokingly, because it was just part of our, you know, what we did with me and my sisters, I'm like, well, we should just meet at the Maverick. And he thought I was serious. And he was waiting at the Maverick for me.
Yeah. I mean, it does make sense in his defense.
I would do anything she asked me to do. Yeah. And she's just making stuff up. I never waited for the Maverick at it.
Well, what's great is I'm like judging these guys for saying meeting at the Maverick, but I'm remembering, you know, this terrible thing. I feel bad to confess it, but I grew up in Alaska, and my summer after my senior year, we met these girls who were working at Denali National Park, which was like 2.5 hours away, and they said that they wanted to hang out. And in our minds, I was like, you know, that was like driving to like New York. So we said, yeah, we'd love to hang out. And I still feel bad about this every time I think about it. We said, if you could just hitchhike in to the Fred Meyer, we'd love to pick you up there. And we did. We had great times. But I look back and I think that was definitely like, you know, meet at the Maverick sort of thing.
So were you more embarrassed about the asking them to hitchhike or the fact that you're meeting at Fred Meyer?
No. In Fairbanks, Alaska, Fred Meyer's is where it's at.
Okay,
that's
gotcha.
Absolutely, like, you know, first class.
Speaking of Fairbanks, I mean, it's like 40 below right there, right now.
That's right. 40 below
winter solstice
up there.
Is tough up in Fairbanks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I just
speaking
want
of work, yes.
John to start singing like In the Bleak Midwinter or something, or quoting some Robert Frost poems as we're moving forward.
That's right. Hey, so we need a little bit more though of the chronology there. So you guys met in high school, right? And you were like, how good of friends were you before you started dating?
So we met in high school. The story goes that we had the same piano teacher.
Doreen Kerr.
Miss Doreen Kerr that John knew well. Did your family take from her?
I took piano lessons from her for 1 year. Yeah, she's in lived in Ephraim. Yeah. So you guys would have had to commute.
We had a little bit of a drive. Yeah. There was a deer hit at some point. Just bounced right off that big old Suburban. I just kept going.
Nice.
So that's how we roll. And so we had the same piano teacher. He was needing to switch lessons, and Miss Kerr said, well, you know, Abby Palmer has the spot you need. Ask her. So he came up to me at school.
Did Miss Kerr have an inkling? Was she like, hey, well, you know, a little sense, like, well, and maybe you should stop by and ask her in person. You know, was there any of that?
She was so great. She was unmarried until she was in her late 70s. So at this time, she was single.
Wow.
Had not ever been married. She married a guy in her 70s that she met at the Manti Temple, and they were married for, I don't know,
another 70 years. Wouldn't that be the best?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I don't know. She passed away recently. She's a great lady. He came up to me. I'd never really talked to him. I kind of knew a little bit who he was because it's a small town, and we'd gone to middle school together and the first part of high school together. So we were...
What was your sense? What was your sense of the young...
Oh, yeah, like
SJC.
I don't really remember other than, like...
He's rolling his eyes so bad. He's like, of course you have a first
impression. That head of hair. It was amazing. I love
the
hair.
He actually did have good hair. He had... He was really smart. That's all I knew. He was, like, really, really a smart kid. And his friends were kind of goofy. And so he asked me. I said, sure. No biggie. We switched. And then it was kind of towards the end of that year, like our friends and his friends started to become friends and we started hanging out. And then at one point I was dating a kid and I was like ready to bail on this kid because he was really getting on my nerves. And so...
You're reminding me of your daughter so much.
This is right. That's the thing. This is Emma Kate.
Emma Kate,
this
16.
This is Emma Kate right now. Yep.
So we went to a ball game together. His friends and my friends ended up in Gunnison at a North Sampete Gunnison High School basketball game. And Spencer and I sat on the bleachers and chatted and had a grand time. We had so much fun. And we kind of messed around at the little Dairy Queen type place.
Just to clarify, when you
not that kind of messed around. Messed around.
I just wanted for the record.
Not that kind of messed around. He wishes. No.
He's like backing away from the mic.
We desperately need more microphones.
Yeah.
Definitely not me.
Do you want to finish the story?
No.
So, we were. When you're in a small town, you just do things that are fun and you get in trouble, but it's good trouble. So we were hanging around and we just had a great time that night. And I just thought, like, I think I like this kid. And so then I broke up with the boyfriend shortly thereafter. And
the rest, as they say, is history.
So when did your crush develop? Like, I've been friends with you guys for a long time, and I've never heard the answer to this. When did you, like, what was that like?
Well, so I immediately thought, wow, she's great. I'm like, wow, she's really cute. And then we started hanging out again, just became really close friends. And then we actually went to junior prom, to her junior prom. By this time I was a senior. She was a junior. Asked her to her junior prom. We had a great time. And then, you know, I got a little nervous.
You took some great photos at that junior prom.
We did take some great photos. Those photos have made the rounds. Yeah. We talked about junior prom. We've only got 2 minutes to break, so I probably can't tell the whole story, but I decided I should date people and dated... not her.
My best friend.
Yeah, so it wasn't great. I'm not going to lie.
There were enough mics for that comment, weren't there?
But then, shortly after graduation, I realized that there was only one person I really loved.
After I told him, figure this out or I'm out.
And I figured it out and started dating, I guess you would say, more exclusively. I had a year before my mission, so I went down to Snow College. She was a senior at North Sampete. We dated for that year, then left for 2 years and came back, and she had a boyfriend, and we've told that story on past pods before, but eventually she decided
you won
that,
the day.
That I was the one, and we got married 26 years ago, and we are currently in the middle of living happily ever after. So it's been pretty awesome. I know this is the material that people are longing for. People want to hear love stories, and ours is one of the lasting ones.
Yeah, it's been a great 26 years for kids. We had kids, we got married pretty young. We had kids when we were fairly young. And so we've always had this plan that we are going to, you know, when the kids are gone, we are going to do all our adventures post children instead of pre children and marriage. So it'll we're waiting for a great adventure.
Yeah, we can't wait to see.
Neither can I.
And we'll be right back.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. We are here, First Lady and Friends, and it's the Cox and Friends crew. Our shout out to our good friend Spencer Hall. He didn't die or anything. He's actually just on a little trip. He had a birthday. He's in Mexico. He's
celebrating summer solstice.
Yes,
just
he
kidding.
Is.
Actually, probably not.
I don't
not
think
good on the equator thing, okay, guys?
You literally lived in Mexico for 2 years, John.
Sorry. You
can handle that equator stuff. Just lost the naturalist crew out there who's listening. But we're so fun. We ought to catch up with the rest of the crew. So Kirsten, I know you make regular appearances on here, but
we have the
good,
same power.
Your family's good. Yeah, what are you doing for Christmas? Christmas traditions?
Just surviving. Just kidding. We are having a great Christmas. I have my first, like, blood niece coming. Is that like a phrase? I don't know. My
sure.
sister's having a baby. It's
we
the
also
first
call
time
them
I've
nieces.
Had. Well, yeah, but like I have nieces and nephews on the other side, and I love them dearly. But there's kind of this excitement in our family this year, to the point where my Christmas year or my whole theme this year for my house is just that she's having a baby. It sort of started as a joke. Then I was hosting a shower for her and decided to make my Christmas tree a baby theme. And then at some point it was like too late to back out. And I just sort of embarrassingly doubled down and bought all this pink Christmas stuff. And so my house looks like a baby shower threw up all over it. And it's just staying like that. And my birthday is 10 days after Christmas. And every year I'm pretty insistent that the Christmas tree doesn't go down until the day after my birthday. It's just kind of how I've always done it.
The Christmas birthdays are tough. I have a brother just before Christmas, sister just after Christmas. I always feel bad for the Christmas.
The anniversary birthday. Around Christmas, though, is not similarly difficult?
It's pretty great. I mean, it's difficult just from, I guess, an economic standpoint that, you know, you're always like, wow, we've got birthdays and Christmas and anniversary you kind of have to plan for. But it is nice because usually you have a little time off so you can
spend
just
some time
call
time.
That, hey, for Christmas, we'll celebrate our anniversary.
I feel like I'm sort of getting to that phase too. With my birthday growing up, it was hard, but now it's like, okay, wonderful spouse. I guess it's Christmas and my birthday. All I want for both of those things is a $2,000 trip.
Yes,
you know, like that's all.
Really awesome.
Like only one present. Let's just combine them. And so, yeah, it works out a little bit better as an adult for sure.
I think that's smart. I think that's wise. And we're so happy for your sister.
Thank you.
Great
I'm
stuff. Yeah. 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 When's the baby due?
End of January.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very
feeling
cool.
good.
Hope it comes on the 26th.
I know. She's actually going to be real close. We'll see.
Okay, there you go. Somebody's birthday on the 26th. I have to remember that one. Owen Fuller, tech time with Owen Fuller. What's up in your life now? You've got two kids. Your company's thriving. You've got like irons in the fire everywhere. It's tech time with Owen. What's happening?
Well, it's been a really fun run since we last were together with Cox and Friends. Like you said, our company, which I think back then was called Lucid Press, is now called Mark, M-A-R-Q. We love that. The business is growing. And, you know, there's been tons of layoffs in the tech realm. And right here in Utah, we've been seeing that. So it's kind of this, you know, macroeconomic uncertainty that's rearing its head for people. But there's still a lot of optimism, and we're really feeling excited and fortunate that with how it worked for us, with the funding we got, and the growth we've had, and the, you know, knock on wood, how it's going in all of those areas, that we're in good shape. And so we're looking forward to a chance to grow during the upcoming year. And you know, the market is changing a lot with a lot of talent that's out there. And so just a dynamic time. And of course, we're thinking about a lot of people who, you know, did get the tough news that they were laid off going into the holidays. And everyone's rallying in a great way to try to help them. There's a website that some people actually worked together to build. It's now oneutah.com. So if you know somebody who has been impacted by that and they're looking for work, that's a great place to go. And there's a lot of companies that are promoting their open positions. And again, there's still just a ton of opportunity with many companies in our area and in our space hiring. So that's going on. I know John's eager to talk about the crypto winter and the crypto crash.
Crypto winter solstice.
But it's been a rough go for our crypto friends. And we used to have these debates. Fortunately, you know, we didn't have a podcast probably over the past few months, but certainly our personal conversations and text threads have been really fun.
Whenever it gets brought up.
I mostly send lots of texts with the music video from the Dashboard Confessional song Vindicated. And so that plays really well.
This is all very true. John has been a little insufferable with the crypto crash. It's been really entertaining, and we're here for it.
He's riding high on the hog. But the funny thing is all that being said, I have good information that John was one of the main buyers of the Trump NFTs that recently dropped. So yeah,
I got in early on those, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is that would not surprise me, but he would buy them as like white elephant gifts for us.
Yes. That's right.
I'm always the contrarian, so I'm looking to zag whenever I can. So, yeah.
And it's worked well. It's worked well.
But I am excited for the holidays. We have great holiday traditions that, you know, I'm really excited to get into with our family. So I grew up not unlike the Palmers, but the Bizarro Palmers with all these boys. So we had 10 boys and one girl. And the big tradition was that you couldn't start opening presents until every single one of the siblings had finished eating their breakfast. And so, of course, it's the youngest. The game was the brothers took the absolute maximum time you ever could to eat. So that's what I think of every Christmas morning is me literally hanging on my brother's arms and trying to get them out of the kitchen so we could open presents. But with only two kids, it's not so bad. But that's my job now, to slow up the breakfast. And I can't wait to see those little boys on Christmas morning.
It's going to be great. It's too bad the Fullers and the Palmers didn't get to know each other a little sooner.
We could have at least had two or three matches.
It feels like there's literally a musical about that, you know?
That's right.
Eight Brides for 11 Brothers or something. I don't know. I can't remember what it was called, but I think that was pretty close.
Short end of the stick for a few of those brides, you don't get a brother, right?
That's true. Yeah. So, and last but certainly not least, John Cox. John, we've had your daughters on here before. They're growing up. It's crazy.
They are.
Yeah, but what's happening in your life?
My oldest is now a freshman in high school, so that's a little transition to be a parent of a high schooler. She is doing wonderful on her own, just decided to get into wrestling, so that's kind of like most of our life now is wrestling events.
These videos are so good, John. I mean, they light up our thread when Puri gets in there and just takes care
intense.
Of business.
She's intense. And, you know, like, she came back after her last meet and said, "Dad, yeah, seven of the kids got bloody noses today in our match." And it's like, oh, wow, like, is this?
And she's like, "I caused six of them."
Yeah, well, she did cause one because they had to have, like, a little break to clean that up. But anyhow, it's just like, you don't get to control what your kids love, you know? And so I'm trying to learn about wrestling rules. You know, last match I went to...
You're looking for loopholes, let's be honest. When you say learning about the rules.
Well, one of the coaches from the other team was like yelling out in the middle of the match, chicken wing, chicken wing. And it's like, I don't know what that means. Is that like a good thing or a bad thing? So I've been looking up the rule book a lot, trying to work the ref a little bit. I still don't entirely know how scoring works.
but you've been yelling chicken wing yourself now, for good measure, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because you don't want to be a step behind any parent, whatever they're saying.
Our text threads on wrestling rules is something I did not expect at this time of year. But it's been so much fun. It really is great.
Yeah, I don't get as many responses on those texts as I would hope for, but that's okay. It's kind of a me thing, not a you thing. But the other kids are doing great. I got a seventh grader, just loving life, doing great. She's the congresswoman, the seventh grade congresswoman in her school. And then my third...
How involved were you in that campaign? I want to know.
So the worst thing is I tried to help my other kid run for student body president, and I had the whole thing planned out, and they didn't win. And then this kid just did it on her own and won. So again, moral of the story, like, don't get too involved.
Less is more.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And then my last kid, she's doing great. I went to her Christmas program yesterday. And it was great. She did wonderful. She's in third grade. It was a different grade. It was like the kindergarten kids. They were singing a song. And I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but like the kids just start getting ahead of the music a little bit. And it was like, it was not somebody on the piano, so they couldn't like catch up, right? It was just like recorded music. And they just kept getting further and further ahead. And it was all of a sudden like 5 or 6 beats ahead. And like, we're going off the train tracks here. And the principal runs over to the music and just cranks it like super, super loud. And the kids, it was like a defibrillator. The kids just like shocked and like stopped for a second and then immediately got back right on time. It was great, you know. So kudos to all the parents, teachers out there.
I thought you were going to say that he just turned it off and just like, just go for it.
That would work too. So anyhow, it's a fun time of year to have kids. And anyhow, our kids certainly keep us busy in our house.
Well, we love your kids, and I think the real moral of the story is I need to see if Coco can help on the next campaign instead of you. That's
she absolutely can.
Well, this is a fun time of year, and we're very excited. Our kids are all coming home for Christmas, which we're kind of excited about. We have three boys down at SUU, so it's going to be strange to have the family all back together.
Yeah, Gav, our oldest, just got here the other day, and he's engaged. So we're super excited about that. Yep. And he's going to be living with us until the wedding in March. And then
keeping a very close eye on him. I like that. Yep, keeping close.
Yes,
yep.
That's good. So this is our last hurrah with Gav by himself as my single kid.
Does he know how many cameras there are around the mansion?
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited. We are ecstatic, and we absolutely love his fiance, and she's amazing and just perfect for him. I do have to say that it's, like, I'm having mixed feelings, like...
About her?
No, not at all.
Just kidding.
She's so great.
She just seems like such a gem.
She's fantastic.
And it's so fun, just briefly, and seeing them together and stuff. I mean, obviously, she lights up his eyes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So is it just losing
your
oldest?
He's my baby. Yeah. He's my baby boy. It's really hard. That's hard.
I could not be more excited.
None of this reticence. Yeah.
This is great. Yeah. This is great. We're ready for the next phase. We're ready for the grandkid phase.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We're excited. So we'll kind of, this is maybe our last hoorah together as like just us and our kids. I'm sure there'll be fiancés and whatnot. We have another one that's shortly to get engaged at. And so it's happening, people. It's happening.
Yeah, you know, this is the time of year for us to all kind of reflect and think back and look at the different phases of our life. And we're all, as friends, in different phases. Young kids, kids now a little older, kids getting married. And it's pretty cool. We live in a great place at a great time. And we've been talking a lot about kids and kind of the cynicism in the world and where young people are today and how they see so much of the negativity in the world as they doom scroll every morning and see all the terrible things that are happening. And there's kind of a hopelessness out there. And I know it's something that we talk about as friends and something we're trying hard to push back against. And I think we all need to do a little better at that. The hope, the joy of this season, that life is good. It's not all bad, and it's not all about to end.
Well, and what's more hopeful than, you know, like, Gav deciding to start a family, right? I mean, that's everything starts to change for in your outlook for the future too when that first baby comes, you know? Really excited for you guys taking the next leap. And just to the broader point, I think that we have to really check ourselves in the way we talk about things. Like one of the recurring threads on this is with things like climate change. There's so much out there that basically tells people like it's done. It's game over. And that feeling doesn't really contribute to productive output. And so how can we talk about things as they are that are very serious, whether it's what's happening with climate or in wars or in disease stuff that we're fighting against or any of the number of ills that are out there in the world. But how do we maintain that, bright light of hope that keeps us in a productive mindset? It feels like we've just gotten off balance in a society a bit on that, haven't we?
Yeah, last night we were coming back from a little Christmas program and my little 9-year-old turned to her sister in the back of the car and said, hey, Coco, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I know. And Coco said, I don't know. And then, of course, didn't ask her sister what she wanted to be, like any older sibling would do. And so my wife is listening and she pipes in from afar and says, well, you know, what do you want to be, Eva? And she says, I want to be a scientist and I want to discover a cure for cancer. And it was just so sweet. And, you know, she gets to do whatever she wants. And I'm sure maybe it'll change over time or whatever. But like that hopefulness of like mm-hmm. wanting to make the world a better place. Right. And so if you're feeling that fear of whatever you mentioned, climate change or whatever else, like we need you to help solve those problems. And to the broader point of this season, I just love getting together with my family. I think that's kind of the end point of it all. Whether you do big things or not, kind of doesn't matter. It's just being around people you love and trying to make the world a little bit better together.
Yeah, I think when we talk to our youth and whenever I'm around young people, that's when I feel the most hopeful because I feel like they want to feel hopeful.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's us that gets in the way. So I love that conversation and I want to continue our amazing podcast and chat when we come right back. Welcome back to First Lady and Friends. We cannot finish a podcast without talking about our beloved Utah Jazz. We were at a game the other day. It was amazing. Just love seeing the chemistry. We thought the team would all fall apart. We lost big pieces. Turns out,
added
some great pieces that we all didn't know about yet. And we've had just a ball watching these guys. What are our Jazz takes and our thoughts?
I think this is where we spend a few minutes talking about Walker Kessler.
I mean, rookie of the year?
Walker Texas Kessler.
That's right. I mean, it's tough at only 15 minutes per game, but the numbers he's putting up per minute, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is an exciting thing to see. And also it's just the feel, you know, the feel that he has for the game that's exciting. And to get all of that with all the draft picks that we have makes you wonder what Danny and crew are cooking up over there.
Well, and I think that what I'm most concerned about is I just don't want to see Danny trade all these guys too, you know, and maybe that happens. But I love this team so much. And you mentioned Walker Kessler. I love watching him play. But it's just everybody. They play so well together. It's a selfless type of game. It's the way that basketball should be played, and you don't see it that often at the professional level.
And the big hope that you have is because, you know, obviously you make the moves that we have to be in a position to compete for a championship is can you bring talent into that keeps that vibe?
Yeah.
Because like you could actually bring talent and destroy that vibe and be worse off as a team for sure.
Well, and clearly when they started the season, you know, the thinking among fans was that's exactly what was going to happen. Right. So we were going to be tanking and we're, you know, trying to get a high draft pick. And the team and the coach decided that's not the way we're going to do it. Right. But I do worry midseason if you start wheeling and dealing a little bit, it's probably pretty hard to maintain that. So anyway, I hope they keep it together. But you know, in Danny, I trust. So we'll see.
Well, it's been unexpected, And those are the best types, right? You have obviously very high expectations. Last year, team underperforms, and not just underperforms, but even when they were performing, there was just a lack of fun. Yeah, there was no joy, right, amongst that team. You could tell that they that something was wrong. The vibe, whatever it is, was off. This year, the complete opposite. Very low expectations and significantly overachieving on those. And I agree, it's been fun to see some of these parts come together unexpectedly. I'm big Lowry Markin fan.
And to see Mike Conley do his thing, too, which, you know, he's had so much to contribute, obviously, an incredible NBA career, but it feels like, you know, a new phase for him with the Jazz, too.
Well, right? and in this true leadership capacity, you know, obviously Mike coming in before, it was Donovan and Rudy's team, and so it was, you know, just a different place for him, and just watching him take this team and lead them along. I love it. Malik Beasley, we don't talk about him that much. I love watching him play.
So fun. Jordan Clarkson in the starting role.
And in a facilitating role, too. Yeah. So he's managed to sort of change the way that he plays in a way that enables the rest of the team. So it's just been a fun team to watch.
Well, and you see some guys who were, you know, NEW, who was on the team last year.
Yeah.
And didn't get much playing time, struggled a little bit, getting a little more. Fontecchio comes in. You get
Fontecchio.
Our guy.
What about Vando, though?
Yeah, Vanderbilt's been fantastic, and we all liked Vanderbilt last year a lot, and thought he was going to be something, and it's pretty amazing that they threw him into those trades. I mean, honestly, and seeing what Kessler's doing, I mean, he's playing like year four of Rudy in Utah, you know, maybe not year five or six, but it took Rudy a couple of years, maybe year three, this early is just insane. I don't think anybody saw that coming. The advanced metrics love Walker Kessler, there's no question, but I think there's one piece that we really have to talk about, and that is the coach who, I don't know, I think he's the coach of the year, watching him pull those pieces together you know, all of the new pieces coming in, really starting out with nothing and forming it into this. Kelly Olynyk, who's been fantastic as well. We kind of miss him now. You realize how important he is now that he's injured. But, man, I just didn't see it coming, and it's fun to have fun again.
So the people that are close to Coach Hardy, the thing that they've said that it sticks with me, because like once you hear it, I feel like you see it over and over again, is how comfortable he is in his own skin. That's really remarkable for a coach in his first year as a head coach, and as young as he is, both, you know, as a person and in his career. But there was a story, I want to say yesterday or the day before, about how he was really liking his own defense that the team was running. And he came in at halftime. This is the game against the Pistons, I want to say, and said, "Hey, what defense do y'all want to run?" And the whole team said, "Man." He's like, "Okay." and that, again, is that like confidence, comfort in your own skin, recognizing that, you know, the players are seeing things that you're not necessarily seeing, and having that flexibility. I mean, it's an exciting kind of leadership that, of course, has got to be core to what we're seeing from this team.
Well, I was going to say, too, that the humility of him to be able to, you know, Coach Hardy to be able to like listen to his players, especially somebody like Mike Conley, who is like a year older than him, I believe. And like to be able to sit there and have these conversations where he and Mike are kind of co-coaching almost like he has. I mean, it sounds like Mike has a lot to do with how things are being run. And I think, again, to your point about Mike being a leader, he's being able to step in as that kind of leader, not only on the floor, but off the floor and, you know, in the locker room and things like that, where I think that's a really cool cohesiveness. And that takes a lot of humility on a part of a coach to say, this guy's been in the league, he knows what he's doing, I'm going to take my cues from him.
Well, especially a first-year, first-time head coach, where, you know, usually you're trying to put your imprint, like, this is my team, you know, and we're going to do it my way, sort of thing. So even more respectful that way.
Well, it is the end of the year as well. We've been talking about Christmas, but this is it for 2022. The last time we're going to get a chance to chat at least publicly together before the end of the year. And so I'm curious what we're looking forward to in 2023, or anything great in 2022 that changed your lives, made you excited. Where do we go from here? Abby, do you want to start?
Sure. We're our show up team has been awesome, thanks to Kirsten leading the charge. And we have and I'll let Kirsten talk about a little bit more about this too. We had an amazing 2022. We had just incredible partners across the state that are doing things in each one of our focus areas, and we've built partnerships, and we've built a team and a cohesive group that is working really well together, and I feel personally so blessed to have gotten to know the people that we have and to work with the people that we have and to meet people. Many of you that have heard on the podcast, the amazing people that we've met, they've been on the podcast, they've told their individual stories, and we've had an incredible time. I will say, you know, there's a couple of things that we're looking forward to personally. I am, Special Olympics is always going to be the center of my heart. That's just, you know, in the work that we're doing, and hoping we'll see. We have a lot of events that are going to be centered around our unified sports. We will do some of the same events that we've done in the past. And, you know, I think looking back, probably the big one that was the most impactful was the USA Games in Disney World, Florida. That was just life changing for us and our team, and it was for the kids that participated. It was really cool. We're looking forward to more adventures like that. I don't know if we'll make it to the international games. We've talked about it. We'll see what happens. But we have some more events like that. We just have big things coming up in a lot of these areas. So, Kirsten, do you want to talk a little bit more about what we have going?
Yeah, 2023 is just going to be about showing up some more. We showed up a lot in 2022. 2023 is also going to be a lot of showing up. To your point, Abby, we have been so fortunate to work with like the best people in the state. Actually, this month I hit 10 years with the state of Utah. That's kind of wild. I hadn't really thought about it. I have gotten to see so much of how things work, but never quite on the level that we have with Show Up as we have over the last almost 2 years now, being sort of on this like, you know, symbolic ground level of things where we're getting to meet the people who are impacted by the things that like policymakers do. Right. And I am just more hopeful than ever because of the people who we've gotten to meet, both in, you know, the people who are working to help and also the people who are, you know, needing the services. Some of the foster families that we've met, some of the foster children, former foster youth who we have met and conversed with over the last year have changed my life just by simple interactions. And so to have, you know, you and the governor and so many people on this team who care so much about getting to know things on that level has been just a really fun change, I think, for me in my career. 2023 is going to just bring so much more of the same. We have, like you said, what's fun about 2023 for me as I think about like helping you to guide the organization is we started at the very beginning of 2021 with this like blank page, and we're like, we don't know how to do a First Ladies initiative. I guess we're just going to figure this out. How do you start a 501c3? Like, how does this all work? And then it's been about learning and growing. And now I think we sort of just, we know who we are. We know what's important and we know what works and what doesn't a lot better, still very much with, you know, learning and open hearts. But 2023 is just, we're figuring out how to scale this work and figuring out how to better take advantage of the goodness of Utahns so that we can be more helpful.
Yeah. We keep saying bigger and better next year. Everything is going to be bigger and better.
Owen.
You know, I feel really like fortunate and energized right now, just with tons to be grateful for going into the new year. So lots that I could talk about there. I wish I had more time in every day, and I kind of wish this time of life would last forever. But the thing that's been on my mind lately is a nod to Coach Leach, Coach Mike Leach, who, you know, of course, got his degree at BYU, played rugby there, studied under Lavelle Edwards, and then went on to have a storied career as a college football coach and a tremendous innovator. I mean, one of the most important innovating minds in college football, but he passed, you know, suddenly, and I'd say tragically, at the age of 61 recently. And reading all about the stories of Mike Leach has been this great kind of reflective point during this holiday season for me going into next year. Like, you know, one, the courage to just do things different and be comfortable with that. Like there's the story of his quarterback who had played poorly and they were down 24-6 going into halftime. And the quarterback went in at halftime and thought he was going to get reamed out and went by the coach's office. And Mike Leach was in there practicing his Spanish on Duolingo. And the quarterback was a little confused. And he said, look, they're not doing anything special. Just stay calm and go out there and win. With a little more colorful language than that. But that was his quote. And that, you know, but he had that effect.
And
on,
he did.
And he did. And they went back and they won 35-31 in that game. And he had that effect on people of being like very, you know, competitive and a winner. But realizing there was a lot more to life in this case than football. And I think, you know, in my case, a lot more to life than the business that I'm doing that I love so much and you pour yourself into. So I want to take that, the spirit of that. And it's not just being different, but it's also just the way that he cared about people and spent time with people. There's story after story of that, of him taking extra time to get to know people and be genuinely curious and interested in them. And so, you know, I think that's what will make 2023 really rich.
And I think that's one of your superpowers in 2022 as well. Johnny.
I love all of that. And our time here is coming to a close. Owen and I on the walk-in were just talking about this time of year. One thing that I love about this time of year is obviously more time with family, which is a lot of fun, but also just a time to like think through things more deeply or differently than maybe other times of the year, you know, not having to deal with the pressure of an email inbox in quite the same way or other things that take up our day to day. And honestly, in some of my background, I've had like big breakthroughs personally, also professionally, like during this time of year. And so I think it's a healthy thing to remember that sometimes we do need to step back a little bit. And if you get a chance to think through things a little bit more deeply, you know, like a Coach Leach, I think we ought to do that. So anyway, that's something I'm looking forward to this year.
I love it. And I'm hoping that you'll continue to think more deeply about the winter solstice.
Which in 8 minutes, the tilt will be precise.
We are that close. In fact, I think we're going to end the podcast so we can go celebrate the winter solstice so together. It's really going to be great. I hope to spend more time with my friends, with all of you. We live in an amazing state. I say that all the time. But I truly believe it. We'll have an opportunity this year to serve as the chair of the National Governors Association. The NBA All-Star game is going to be here in Salt Lake City. Another cool opportunity for the state of Utah. There is just so much good going around. We have some problems, and we're going to work on solving those this year as well. But I love this time of year because it's a chance to look back, and I think history will look back on 2022 with positivity. I think it's a better year, than last year. We're moving in a positive direction, and that direction matters. And I feel lucky to spend it with all of you. Abby, do you want to bring us home?
Yeah, I do. I love books, as you all know, and I just think we should end by saying either one book that we absolutely loved reading this year or one that we wished we had read or that we plan to read in 2023. I'll start. Currently in the middle of a book by Jeff Perlman. It's The Last Folk Hero, Bo Jackson's biography. It's really, I've been absolutely fascinated by it. So if you haven't read it, it's really interesting. He was an absolute, like, out of this world, like, otherworldly type of athlete that we haven't, I don't think, ever seen before, and we probably won't ever see again. He just was just this person that could do unbelievable things, like literally unbelievable. There were people that couldn't, they'd watch it and didn't believe what they were seeing. And then his whole journey with baseball and football, I don't know. I love athletics, and I think sports is fun. So it was a great book. John, like
everybody's looking up their Audible accounts here to see what they've got. And I'll just share that I've got one that's on my mind right now because I just realized that I hadn't read the third of the trilogy yet. And it's a series about kind of the history of religion in our world and in human civilization. So there's No God But God, which is about the kind of history and origins of Islam. And then there's Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth, I want to say, or something like that. And then the last one is God, A Human History. And I don't want to say the author's name wrong. I think it's Reza Arslan, but I could be pronouncing that wrong. But anyways, it's just thoughtful work to kind of like round out your thinking about how have humans been answering these difficult questions of life throughout all of our, you know, phases. And so, I read the first two and thought that they were really thought provoking, and I'm excited to get to the third here soon.
So I just picked up a book, got it in the mail. My wife's asking why I'm buying myself Christmas presents, but you know, whatever. I just got it in the mail this week. But it's a new book by Patrick Mason. I think some of you are familiar with him, but Restoration: God's Call to the 21st Century. I'm not like a super churchy guy, but I do love Patrick Mason's work, and so I'm excited to dig into that one.
Yeah, Patrick's fantastic. He has a great podcast that you should all check out as well. Kirsten.
Mine's not very touchy-feely like y'all. I just finished yesterday the book, The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. Fascinating. We're kind of at like a transition point with our own family's finances, and I am sort of starting to like the ideas of learning how to invest differently. And so I got to admit, I think that was probably the start of it. It was like, oh, there's a lot more here than I thought, and I was really bad at that one thing. Anyway, it's a fascinating read. It's really quick, and it was really practical, right? A lot of like really interesting practical tips for today and how families can think about money differently in order to benefit you. A lot of really simple lessons like this is why it's important to save, or this is how, but really nice and thought-provoking for like me and my husband to be able to kind of have those kinds of conversations going into the new year about what we might do differently or better.
Yeah, that's a great book. I've read that book. I love it.
I can't wait. It sounds like a great book and one I need to read. All of these, this is one of our favorite things, is to hear what other people are reading. I will tell you, when I interview, one of the things I do a lot of is appoint judges. Most people don't realize that governors appoint judges in our state, and I've appointed several, and I have several more coming. And one of the last things I ask just about every judicial nominee is, what are you reading right now? I think it's a kind of an insight into your world and your soul and kind of who you are. There are a couple, usually, you know, it doesn't weigh that heavily, but once in a while there are a couple people where I'm like, yeah, well, maybe not you after
the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Hey, I love the Hunger Games. It's fine. It's fine. It's just, but reading is so important. Somebody asked me what my nightstand looked like, and I may have to take a picture and tweet it out. I think I've got like 8 books on my nightstand. I'm either reading, rereading, you know, skimming. They're all there, and I'm sure you have nightstands like that. I have one that somebody just gave me. And I started reading it on our trip, and it's fascinating. And of course, that means that my team's going to have to read it. We have a book club with our senior staff and our cabinet, and so they're always wondering what I'm reading, because it usually means I'm going to make them read it. But this one is called Stolen Focus by I think it's Johan Hari, the subtitle is Why You Can't Pay Attention and How to Think Deeply Again. And it's about kind of social media and cell phones, but it's a lot more than that, how they're rewiring our brains, how we really struggle. Sadly, I had a hard time kind of focusing on the book, which is part of the problem. But how to get back into flow state, and how detrimental this is to our kind of emotional selves. We didn't talk. We'll have to come back on the pod sometime to talk about our trip into the Uintas that the guys took. But that was the first time in a long time I hadn't had my cell phone on and kind of constantly within my grasp and looking at it, and how our inability to focus more than a few minutes at a time without distracting ourselves, and how different and dangerous that is.
Well, there's a lot of content there around the law of the mountain.
I was going there too.
For just those few short days.
People are just going to have to hang on the edge of their seat waiting to hear more about the law of the mountain. That's my latest read, and we appreciate you sharing yours.
Thank you so much for being on the pod, guys. Come back anytime you want to. We loved having you, and I know the listeners love having you.
Happy anniversary.
Yes, congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Shari's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Shari's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Shari, anywhere you get your podcasts.